Rat Pack, where you at?
What's going on? Thanks, Ed McMahon. Yeah, see, to the younger listeners, Ed McMahon, look it up. But hey, I'm Jeff. It's July 25th, Thursday. And we're here to preview the Kansas City Chiefs and the Las Vegas Raiders. And we'll get into some mailbag stuff because you guys won't leave me the F alone. Come on, man. A lot of mailbag stuff to get to, so I'll do as many as I can today. Going to dive right in, though, and we'll talk about these Kansas City Chiefs. Well, Patrick Mahomes is pretty good. Patrick Mahomes is coming off a season that wasn't his best, and ho-hum, we'll just go out and we'll win the Super Bowl. And honestly, I had no doubt. I was in Vegas, humble brag, for the Super Bowl week to build up to it and got to do some shows on the Vegas Strip. And there was a lot of 49ers fans who were stopping and watching us do the shows for CBS. And I was trolling them because, well, I can be a heel. But on top of that, I just didn't doubt that the Chiefs are going to win. I mean, when you have this dude at quarterback, it really makes a difference. It really makes a difference. It's crazy that the football is the ultimate team sport, that if you don't have one particular position, it's going to be really hard to win. But he's great. I mean, he's great. Over the last three seasons, he's the only quarterback to top 14,000 passing yards. 14,272. He also leads in passing touchdowns over that span with 105. He's a good running quarterback as well. Like, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he knows how to pick his spots. 75 rushing attempts, 385 yards. He didn't score a touchdown last year, but that's a little bit of an anomaly in the regular season. I'm not really worried about that part. He's good for 350 plus pretty much every year. And look at it, you know, go back through the years, you're going to see it. Those are added fantasy points. And the scary thing about Mahomes this year is this might be the best receiver core that he's had. Now, I'll get into Rashee Rice, my thoughts there in a moment. But, of course, they draft the speedy Xavier Worthy. They bring in the speedy Marquise Brown. They have the all-time greatest, well, certainly the greatest fantasy tight end of all time and one of the greatest tight ends of all time in Travis Kelce. It's a great spot for Mahomes. The problem, as I've been talking about in some of these other previews, is he's just going to go too darn early for me to draft him in a one quarterback or a super flex league. So I'm going to get pieces of him instead. I'm going to get some of the aforementioned receivers instead of Patrick Mahomes. He's awesome. And if you have him in Dynasty or in a keeper league where you have good value on him, then cool. Otherwise, I think it's an overpay to draft a quarterback in the early rounds. And he's not going to fall. Like, yesterday I actually did a large scale update in rankings over at FTNFantasy.com. You can use the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. We have a rankings only package that you could get if that's all you really care about. And it's cheaper than the whole shebang. But the whole shebang comes with so much more, including Stats Hub, which just was released yesterday officially. That thing was like 4 years in the making. It's crazy. But it's our stats tool. Comprehensive. You can look up everything you want. All in one tool. You don't have to navigate to like 15 different tools. It's really cool. But anyway, the point of the story, Patrick Mahomes now, I moved quarterbacks down in my overall rankings. They looked a little too high where they were. I have like a fifth to sixth round grade on him. Nobody's taking him there. And even then, I'd still want to get three rounds on that. So that means he's got to be the eighth or ninth round. It's never happening. Like, it's never happening. So that's fine. We can get pieces of him elsewhere. You know, Kelce's amazing. Now, he's not the number one tight end, but he is the number two tight end. I have Laporta number one. Kelce's going to go in the second or third round. He's coming off of a air quotes down year where he had 93 catches, 984, and five touchdowns, which is for most tight ends an absolute peak career year. And that's a down year for him. Yes, he's 35 years old this season. No, I'm not worried about him coming back to the pack. I think he's still got a couple more great years left in him. I really do. And I think he thinks the same thing. That's why he signed that deal. So not worried about him, but he is going a little early for my taste. I don't like drafting tight ends in that range. But let's talk about these wideouts. Okay, so let's talk first and foremost the Rashee Rice situation. So you remember it was before the NFL draft. It was early in the offseason. Rashee Rice was drag racing and got into an accident that could have been a whole heck of a lot worse. The car was going well over 100 miles an hour, actually over 110 miles an hour. And then left the scene of the accident. The end result, fortunately, you know, nobody was killed or anything like that, because it could have been absolutely terrible. The end result, it was a terrible look on his part, bonehead move, and he's facing 8 felony counts. Now, right before the NFL draft, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, came out and said, "We're going to let the legal process play out. We're not going to interfere with anything." And that is not like out of the ordinary. That's not like they just decided to do this for Rashee Rice. This is what happens anytime anything bad happens. Now, if it is really bad, then the immediate move, or the move shortly thereafter from the NFL, is putting the player on paid leave. That's another way of calling commissioners exempt. When they're on commissioners exempt, they cannot go to facilities playing games or anything like that, but they are still paid. Whatever. It's part of the rules. That rarely happens, fortunately, because it really takes a very, very bad thing. Now, Rice was dumb. He was very dumb. He was dumb in multiple ways in this incident, but it did not prompt commissioners exempt. Therefore, it will result in a suspension. However, before we get ahead of ourselves, the NFL lets the legal process play out. Roger Goodell said as much right before the NFL draft. This legal process could take forever. Like, it could take more than a year. More than a year means we're well into the offseason of 2025, not 2024. In other words, I really doubt he is suspended this year. I really doubt he is suspended this year. And if you think I'm just, you know, talking out my rear end, Alvin Kamara, that was Pro Bowl of what, 2022, when the fight happened, Pro Bowl weekend. He actually even had police come to the stadium, you know, in Vegas where the Pro Bowl was happening. So they came to the workplace, so to speak. And even that suspension didn't take place until last season. It took a year and a half, basically, for the suspension to finally happen. That's why I really don't think so. I don't think that's going to be the case, you know, that he's suspended this year, he being Rashee Rice. So you're probably going to get Rice at half a value because people are still going to be scared of him. I'm not scared of him. I'll take the discount. Now, as far as the other two, I'd be cautious. Like, I keep seeing Xavier Worthy painted as a downfield receiver. Like, he wasn't in college. He was a low air yards guy, 10.3 air yards per target, and a yak guy, yards after catch, 6.9 per reception. He's a get the ball in his hands and let him make things happen, not, you know, go vertical. That doesn't mean he's not going to go vertical, but I think there's a misconception. Anytime there's a speed guy, there's this assumption that, oh, speed guy has to be vertical. No, he doesn't. He does not. And I actually was saying this to somebody a couple days ago when we were in Boston for the FSGA event, and the response was, oh, well, his quarterback. And I was like, you mean Quinn Ewers? You mean the guy who could maybe win the Heisman and possibly be the number one draft pick? You mean the guy who was like one of the highly touted, you know, most highly touted recruits of his class? I don't know about that. The downfield threat last year was A.D. Mitchell for that Texas team. So I wouldn't go too far there. I think maybe we see a little bit more of Marquise Brown downfield. You know, they're going to have to replace, and I know this is going to sound bad as soon as I say it. Are you ready for this? They're going to have to replace Marquez Valdes-Scantling as their downfield guy. He was, though. And I think Marquise Brown can do some of that. He wasn't asked to do a ton of it, but also he's kind of asked to be the number one receiver, which he isn't suited to. And I don't think there has to be a number one receiver in Kansas City, by the way, but he kind of had to do that in Arizona. Here, you can bounce the targets between the slot receiver of Rice, you know, the short yak guy, short and intermediate yak guy and Worthy, Marquise Brown getting downfield a little bit, and then, of course, Kelce still leading the way in terms of targets. So the question is then, where do these guys come in rankings? And I will tell you that my ranking on Rashee Rice is going to be ahead of ADP. So, you know, that is something to consider if you're drafting on commissioner platforms where the rest of your opponents have ADP right in front of them. If you're in a backyard or a driveway or a garage or a bar or something like that where you're actually putting stickers on a draft board, it's a little bit different. But I have him at wide receiver 27. Now, he's going later than that in best ball, but there's still a lot of fear of the suspension stuff. I don't know if that fear still exists later, you know, about a month from now. I don't know if it does. Honestly, I really don't. So, you know, I'll adjust accordingly, but I think that's fair given who's in the house. Now, Marquise Brown, more wide receiver four territory, boom or bust at 40, and then Xavier Worthy have at 52, and there's nobody else really there. As far as the backfield is concerned, so we have Isaiah Pacheco. He's a top 12 guy. I think we know what to expect out of him. And actually, last year, I really liked that his involvement in the passing game expanded. He caught 44 balls in 14 games after having caught just 13 in 17 games in his rookie season. It was 0.8 targets per game in his rookie season, 3.5 last year. 3.5 is not massive, but it does help. So top 12. He's the last of the anchor running backs for me right now. The question is, if you drafted him, say you get him in the third round, do you cuff him or not? And that ultimately comes down to what you're comfortable with doing. But we also have a little bit of a question mark here. Initially, it looked like Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to essentially be locked in as that handcuff. But then we just saw this week, Denarik Prince was taking reps with the first team and was decidedly the number two option ahead of Edwards-Helaire. This is we're in the beginning of camp. So I don't think we can, just run with that right now. But I will tell you this, I'm going to keep a close eye on it. And when we do the handcuff stuff, which is coming up soon, I will have, more on that for you, more on this backfield and what we can do from a handcuff standpoint. All right, let's move over to the Raiders. The Raiders have a glaring issue. Quarterback. They have two backup quarterbacks. They have no starter. And there really isn't that much that separates their two backup quarterbacks and Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Aiden O'Connell, by the way, looks exactly like Farva. If you've ever seen the movie Super Troopers, Farva.
Shenanigans?
Yeah, Shenanigans.
Shenanigans?
Yes, Farva, Super Troopers. Yesterday's title of the episode. Yeah, Aiden O'Connell looks exactly like that dude. But anyway, him and Gardner Minshew. And honestly, it's 6 in 1 half, a dozen the other. I think this is very much like Atlanta last year, where we're probably going to see both of these guys and maybe them bounce back and forth between the two. It would be really surprising if we know what Minshew is, and it would be really surprising if Aiden O'Connell took a big step forward this year. I'm not saying he can't, but it would be surprising. So that is going to put a damper on things. Like, I'm not going to run in fear of Davante Adams. Even last year with the mess, he had 103 catches. He had 8 touchdowns. He had 1144. He had 2 games where he topped 20 targets. He was the only one to do it twice, and there were only 4 instances of it in the entire season. 20 targets against the Steelers in Week 3, 21 against the Colts in Week 17. And last I checked, Week 17 is pretty darn important. You got him, I'm okay with him because he's Davante Adams. But after that, it's rough. Like, I'm not confident in even Jacoby Myers, and he had a nice season last season. I'm not going to knock it. 71, 807, but it's the 8 touchdowns I think is not replicable, and that's where I think people may be misled if they just look at his fantasy points. So I have Adams at 9, Myers at 51, and really not a player I want to be drafting in that range. On my draft board at ftnfantasy.com, I have like late round targets and late round avoids, and guys who I want to avoid, I am avoiding. I don't care where they are. I want upside in the late rounds, and I just don't see that here with this squad. So we also have the challenging situation of Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. And when Bowers was drafted, obviously the top tight end in this year's class, and I'll tell you, if he was in last year's class, which may go down as the greatest tight end class of all time, who knows? It certainly was very good from the jump. Bowers was the best one of them. So that is telling you something. He has been the gold standard in 3 seasons at Georgia. An absolute problem on the field. But when he was drafted, a lot of people scratched their heads saying, well, wait, didn't they just draft Michael Mayer? Yes. But they were confused when I said, Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers don't play the same position. Because yes, in theory or in practice or whatever, tight end, they're both tight ends, but they're not playing the same position in an offense. Michael Mayer is 6'4", 265. He is a tank. He is an inline option. When I say inline, it means he lines up in line with the offensive lineman. Majority of the time, that's what he's going to do. He can block. Yes, he can catch, but he's a catch and fall down guy. He's got great hands, but he's a catch and fall down guy. Brock Bowers is not an inline guy. You could ask him to play in line, but he's kind of, he's light. 6'4", 230. He's light. But he can move. and he is an absolute mismatch for a safety or a linebacker, whoever you're going to get in on coverage on him, you try and put a nickel corner, a lot of these small nickel corners on him, good luck. Because not only is he a lot bigger than what you get out of a typical wide receiver, but he can still move. Thus, he's a move tight end. They can both be on the field at the same time. And given their depth chart, how light they are at third receiver, they are going to be on the field a lot at the same time. Bowers still has the same issue as Davante Adams. Quarterback is a problem, but he can still be fairly productive this year, even given the quarterback situation. I think he's on the outside looking in at the top 12. You could probably consider him at 12. I moved him up to 12, but it's only because TJ Hockenson uncertainty. If Hockenson was healthy, then Bowers would be just on the outside of the top 12. But either way, that's a range where I'm not typically drafting tight ends. However, if you drafted him in Dynasty, I wouldn't be too worried about it. But we'll keep an eye on this one. I wouldn't be running in fear of Michael Mayer, too, by the way, if I had him in Dynasty. He's just not really viable this year in redraft leagues. Bowers is the guy to go to. He very well could be second on the team in targets when it's all said and done this season. Him and Myers figure to be close. Now, of course, Josh Jacobs is out of the mix, so Zamir White is there. And White was pretty good down the stretch. He had two 100-yard rushing games. What's interesting, and this is part of the stuff that we have at FTN Data, he actually, in the games where he saw more zone concepts, he went for over 100 yards. The games where he was running less zone, more gap, man, duo, things like that, those were the games he didn't go over 100. So, hey, Raiders coaching staff, are you listening? Run zone concepts this year and a lot of them, and Zamir White will be okay. Now, Zamir White's one of these guys, though, that people, he's like a little bit of a, you know, Dick Vitale reference, Diaper Dandy. People want that breakout running back. It is year three, so he's not a rookie, but he could break out this year. I'm just not willing to fully invest in that. If he makes it out of the running back dead zone period, like, so he's out, it's probably, I'd say, ninth round is where it makes the most sense based on where he's ranked for me. I'm not going to hesitate, but my expectations aren't through the roof with him. I have him at RB26, and part of the reason why I'm not, you know, over the moon is because the team has talked about potentially, or the beat writers at least have said the team has talked about bringing in a veteran running back. Now, who's the veteran running back at this point? I mean, the Pickens are slim out there, but, like, you know, I don't think it's going to be playoff Lenny or anybody like that. I just think there could be the possibility that we see more Alexander Mattison, who they did bring in, than we might want to. I think the veteran is probably because they're really thin after Mattison. So it's White, Mattison, then they have Dylan Lobby, who's he's a pass-catching back, and so is Amir Abdullah, still kicking around on this depth chart. Just be cautious. Anytime we're in those middle rounds with those running backs, they're getting drafted in that region for a reason. And I always try to temper expectations and not think, oh, this dude's breaking out, I have to have him. There's nobody I ever have to have in a fantasy football draft. All right, so there is the Raiders for you. Not a ton to love there, but I did want to get over to some of these emails. So the email address, therantpodjr@gmail.com. Jason just has a comment here, but he said he just watched the receiver series. I'm almost there. The problem was the Bear came out when I was on vacation. This is me talking, not Jason. I'm almost finished this thing. And I ripped through the Bear because that show is so stinking good. And so I was a little behind on receiver. But anyway, he said, for starters, he said he's not happy with what it's done to him. It's humanized these athletes, making it difficult to root against them for fantasy purposes. I don't ever really root against players. That's weird, Jason. I'm only like focused on ideally my players doing well. But regardless, he says it's gotten him fired up for the upcoming season. So he's actually counting down the days to the Hall of Fame game, which we're like a week out from that. He says, finally, I am strongly considering drafting George Kittle early. Is this wrong? Am I wrong? Why do they have to release these series so close to draft season? Of course, they're doing it you got it. I mean, they're doing it because we get hyped up now. I wouldn't draft a player just because I see him on a TV show, although I do love George Kittle on that show. If you haven't seen it on Netflix, it is pretty awesome. So I don't know. But if George Kittle's there, he's one of the tight ends that I am targeting. But I really do have five of them. who I'm targeting. And I'll get to that. We're not there yet, though. All right? We're not there yet. Jack checking in. It's a best ball question. He said exposure question. He said, good to have you back. Hey, it's good to be back. But I haven't really gone anywhere. This is just the rant is back. I'm not back. Believe me, I've been here all along. He said, is there an exposure percentage limit you have that you set on a given player in best ball? He said he's done about 30 drafts and has two players pushing 60%. I'm confident in these guys, but curious if I should be setting a limit. And any thanks, me. I appreciate that, Jack. Well, yeah, I mean, 60% is really high. So here's the thought process. When you're playing best ball, it's different than redraft. In redraft, how many leagues are you in? Like home leagues, what are you in? 2, 3, 4? Usually that's about the normal for us. I have three non-industry leagues that I'm in, home leagues. And then I have some industry leagues that are redraft as well. But either way, I'm not worried about exposure. And exposure means the amount of rosters you have a player on. So if I have a player on every one of them, all right, so be it. It won't work out that way, but, you know, just so be it. In best ball, if I had a player on all 30 rosters and that player got hurt and he was out for the season, and that can happen to any player in the NFL at any point, I've just lost him on every single roster. Or in this case, 6 out of 10, 60% in the, 18 of these 30 rosters. Did you hear the math? Did you hear the squeaky wheel of that hamster running in my head as that math was getting processed there? That's dangerous. You know, it is dangerous. I don't like to be above like maybe 25%. I know there's different strokes for different folks. Some people won't go higher than 20%. Some go 35, 40%. But I feel like 60 is too high. It really does come down to your own comfort level. Are you comfortable losing a guy in 60% of your lineups? I don't know if anybody really is. So what happens then is I flag those guys. And like, cause I was about 25 in at a point earlier on, and I had somebody, I forget who it was. I feel like it was like George Pickens or somebody like that. And I had him in like 50%. So then I flagged him and I just didn't, even if he was the top guy on my board, I didn't draft him for a while. And that did happen. I had to pass on him like 3 or 4 times. And that's fine. That's fine. You just go to the next guy on your board and you limit that exposure. Good question. Moving on, Michael, it says keeper question. So we know how we are. We know where we are with keepers, but let's see what he has to say here. It's a 10-player keeper. You're keeping 10 players. Wow. So he has Jaden Reed, Chase Brown as the 11th and 12th players on the team. Would I move them over a player like Mixon, Montgomery, et cetera? Well, so no, if there are no penalties here, I am keeping essentially the top 10 in my rankings. Jaden Reed and Chase Brown are not higher than David Montgomery or Joe Mixon in my rankings. So I'm just simply going straight forward there because I treat a keeper league, even one where I keep 10 players, like a redraft league. I'm not worried about the future. I'm not treating it like a dynasty league because it isn't a dynasty league, right? Dynasty leagues, you keep the same roster year over year, and then you just cut players so that you can bring in your rookies. In a keeper league, you're keeping players from the previous roster, but you're also essentially drafting a new roster. Now, that one, 10 is rare. Normally, it's 1, 2, or 3, maybe 4, but still I'm going to treat it like a redraft. Carter, bench spot question. All right. League is debating having fewer bench spots. Is this an old man league? It says it's a 14-teamer, and they feel like free agency is too shallow. He says he completely disagrees because it emphasizes luck more than skill. How do I convince them they are ruining the league by reducing the bench? Well, you are right. You are certainly right. If you reduce bench size, you promote more luck. And this is a classic thing. And it is ironic because then the same people who say we got to reduce bench sizes to make waivers more active are then at the end of the season going to complain that the league came down to luck. And this is one of those things. Why does it promote more luck? Because the skilled player will know the right ways, A, to use their bench in terms of allocation. They're not going to have like 5 quarterbacks on their bench or an extra defense, an extra kicker, stuff like that. And they're going to get ahead of the curves, B, and roster guys who could be factors later in the season. So you're in a lot of ways, you're like limiting the skilled players and you're then helping the less skilled players because those folks can go on waivers and pick up players. You know, you could run into problems where you'll have to cut good players off of your bench because of bye week issues and things like that. It's not good. Now, the problem with these sorts of instances is there's really no convincing somebody once they have had their idea set in stone. So you can't go in guns a-blazing and be like, you're wrong, and here's why. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work in fantasy football. You have to ultimately ask other questions. Do you like leagues being based more on luck? No? Well, you're going to limit our skill by reducing the bench size, and it's going to promote more luck. You know, I think maybe that's the only thing you can do here. Obviously, hopefully you have it up to a vote. Now, the one problem is if the vote passes, the vote passes, and you can do one of two things. You can either put up with it or you can leave the league. You know, maybe you can vote on it again in the future, but otherwise you just kind of have to accept it. You know, it sucks, but yeah, I've noticed over the years, I have learned this. Old dog can learn new tricks. If I go in and say, like, you're wrong and here's why, it's not going to work. It's definitely not. All right, let me do one more. Man Crush 2024. It's from Dale. Who is your man crush at quarterback? A couple years ago, it was Trey Lance. And that didn't work out. Well, it wasn't really Trey Lance. It was Trey Lance was a late round option. I don't really have man crushes. I used to, I mean, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo is an extremely good looking dude, if that's what you mean. But he is, no, I don't do the man crush thing. I think it's irresponsible of me to do that. If I was to come in on this podcast and be like, yo, I love this dude, I mean, I know where I'm going to draft him. And I know that I don't reach ever in fantasy drafts, and I would never draft a guy too early, but you might not know that. And you might draft a guy too early, and that would be me coming on this podcast and giving you really crappy advice. And I'm trying to not give crappy advice. I'm really, really trying not to. So there's that. Dale also saying, what the heck happened to the blocking bit you did? I haven't heard it all year. I don't know what you're talking about. Honestly, like, do you mean me blocking people on Twitter? I have no clue what you're talking about. I don't remember a blocking bit. Of course, I don't remember like half the bits that I do because they're not funny or they're not good. So then I just bury them in my memory. All right, real quick, there is one more here. Jason has a question. He said he wants to thank me for defining the term superflex. He said he's been using it wrong. He thought his superflex was going undefeated. That's good. Going undefeated, winning the league, and having the most points scored. Well, that is a flex, but it turns out that is not what superflex means. He said he is getting caught up on the rant. He said one thing that all the episodes have in common is that I am calm. As of today, I haven't ranted. I haven't been outraged by tweets. Okay, so I think what you're getting at here is I do that for 2 hours a day. Like this is I always record this after the radio show. So it's a little different, but this is meant to be different than the radio show. Like this is me and you, you know what I mean? Like this isn't me and the radio, and I know I'm on everybody's car. Well, not everybody, all five people listening to me, but I'm on the car radio and I got to bring the energy. What stations get Pete Rose in or out of the Hall of Fame? Like I'm not doing that here. Like this is just us. You know what I mean? Like this is for the real heads. And so, yeah, thanks for picking that up, Jason. Definitely. He said, He said, yeah, I think you're getting that. I think you're getting okay. So he wants to know, should the podcast fans be called ranters? He said a subcategory of JR fans separate from the radio show. Believe it or not, the Rat Pack thing actually came from the podcast. That came from the podcast when I was back at PFF years ago. I don't know, man. I always like Rat Pack. I think it's pretty cool. I initially did not like it, but then I was like, nah, that whole Sinatra thing's kind of neat. But yeah, well, you can call your guys whatever you want. You know, it's up to you. All right. So I still have plenty of these voicemails too. If you want to email though, like I said, it's therantpodjr@gmail.com. But yeah, let's dive into a voicemail.
Hey, Jeff, this is Scott from Doylestown calling. Thinking about best ball and even redraft, if you're stacking like a team and you're trying to, I know you should use a quarterback with a receiver, But if you're trying to stack a quarterback and you're thinking about using the running back, should you just use promo code RATPACK at ftnfantasy.com for 10% off and follow you at Twitter on Twitter at Jeff Radcliffe? All right, just want to find out. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, we got a Doylestown ball breaker here. How about that? Doylestown's like 15 minutes from where I live, by the way, in Pennsylvania. The county seat of Montgomery County. But yeah, ball breaker, haha. But seriously, use promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. Hey, I got to promote somehow, man. That's part of why I do this. Anyway, let me actually, I don't even know if he wants an answer, but let me just answer anyway. So I don't think you should stack and redraft or go out of your way to do so. If it happens, cool. But there's a completely different objective in redraft than there is in best ball or in like a tournament like Scott Fishbowl. In those formats, like if I'm in best ball mania, I'm trying to beat hundreds of thousands of lineups. In order to do so, I need to maximize the ceiling of my roster. And the best way to maximize the ceiling is, well, there's two things you do. First is to team stack. The second is to game stack. Team stacking means that, well, first and foremost, if I have wide receiver early, I'm going to try and get that wide receiver's quarterback and then take it from there. So I'll let the early rounds dictate what I'm doing. If I have, Jamar Chase, then I will try and get a Joe Burrow stack. If I have Nico Collins, then I will try and get a CJ Stroud stack. Heck, if I have George Pickens, then I will try and get a Russell Wilson stack and so on. And here I wouldn't really hesitate to get a running back in the mix too. Team stacking, that way if the team blows up at the end of the year, maybe you win all the money. Now you also want to consider game stacks. You want to consider if you're stacking a team, who's going to be the opponent in week 17, that championship week. That's important in best ball. It is not important at all in redraft. In fact, you don't necessarily want to go after the maximized ceiling because that's a swing for the fences and you can strike out. And I don't really want to do that. I want to first and foremost sort of maximize the midpoint of my roster. Of course, I want ceiling, but stacking isn't that important. So I think that's an interesting question. Hey, in Philly, we break balls, all right? That's what we do. And Doylestown bringing it today on the podcast. All right, let's do one more voicemail.
Hey, Jeff. Nathan from Oklahoma here. Hey, man, I'm really glad you're back. Of course, you never really left for me because I've been following the FTN pod. But, appreciate everything, man. Want to ask a quick question. Our league is set up a bit different. We do half point per carry. So I was just curious how your punt RB2 and or QB drafting strategies would be impacted. I know typically you don't grab a QB until the 10th. Pretty much everything. Thanks very much. Bye.
Yeah, it sounded like you cut out there. You got paid a Boost Mobile bill there, Nathan. So what he's getting at is scoring setting changes and does that impact draft strategy? No, it really doesn't. The thing that would impact strategy potentially is adding a position like a super flex, but for the most part, I'm going to keep things as straightforward as possible. What adding carry points would do would actually potentially change the rankings at the position, but not how I approach the position. Like, for example, running back, somebody like Jonathan Taylor, who figures to be among the league leaders, is very valuable there. Not that Christian McCaffrey wouldn't be, but he's very valuable. You look down through guys like Derrick Henry, who may not catch a lot of balls, but will be heavily involved in the ground. He's very valuable, but it doesn't mean I have to have him. You know, in fact, it's just going to shuffle around the rankings, but I will either do zero RB or punt RB2 in that format as well. It really doesn't change the approach. Same thing with quarterback. It'll shuffle the rankings around. And yeah, like I will look for quarterbacks who will run a little bit. Kirk Cousins isn't one of those quarterbacks. Jared Goff isn't one of those quarterbacks in the late rounds, but Justin Herbert is. Trevor Lawrence is. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, they will be. So, and if they don't get there, that's fine, but I'm not going to dramatically adjust things just based on the scoring system. It's if you added super flex, that would change things. If you added two tight ends, which don't do two tight end leagues, just don't, if you really want to, but just don't. That would obviously change things. That's what changes strategy sometimes. Not always. Sometimes. It's not the scoring settings. Good stuff there, and I appreciate you calling, Nathan. 215-720-1708 is the phone lines there. All right, so tomorrow we will be back for a Friday edition of the podcast. We're going to LA, baby. Chargers and Rams are the next two teams we'll preview. Keep hitting us up with the voicemails and us. I'm the only one here. Keep hitting us up with the phone calls and all of that. And yes, as my buddy from Doylestown said, promo code RATPACK for 10% off over at ftnfantasy.com. And follow along with me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe. And on Instagram, if you want to look into my life, creep, follow me on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe. All right. I'll catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.